This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
It was either joy or despair this double game week when Dallas found the net. Leeds made up for the loss against Wolves, a clean sheet to complete a set of returns if you went for the triple up. What on earth has happened to Klopp? Everton won at Anfield to end a 21-year wait, but who is about to pop? We head into a huge double game week 26 with options left, right and centre. Who to pick? Who to pick? I hear you cry. Well, Triple Captain are here to help you. Welcome to Triple Captain. How we doing? Rich, you've got a green arrow. Let's dive straight in and tell us about your game week. We are Triple Captain. We're at Triple Captain 3. I'm Luke Jurdy. I'm joined by Rich Wolfenden. We're also here with Ben. Give us a follow, subscribe, like, all that stuff. Rich, how did you do this game week?
Yeah, so I'm Rich. And because I'm an Everton fan, obviously we won at Anfield for the first time since 1999. I was in primary school when that happened, so I don't even remember that win. But this will stay fresh in the memory, and I'll probably watch Match of the Day about 12 times already, and it's only Wednesday morning, so it's gonna be watched a few more times. But yeah, honestly, I was in work, and like, I never ever want to be on the radio again when Everton are playing Liverpool. It is just atrocious. I could not think of what I was going to say or focus on anything. But anyway, yeah, big win for Everton. Absolutely over the moon.
Did you have a good show, Rich? Because you were doing your Radio X show, weren't you, when the game was on? Did you say things like, coming up next is Dominic Calvert-Lewin!
But I wish I'd done that.
That was a brilliant commentator shout, that, Ben. I love that. That was so, so good.
The Libertines on Radio X.
Next up, Mr. Rowling's Richarlison! Go on, son! Yeah, I didn't do that, sadly, but thankfully I got a green arrow in my FPL team, so I'm absolutely buzzing with that. Basically made up the deficit that I got last week, so basically just back to square one where I was two game weeks ago. But you know what? I'll take that. So I got 85 overall, which is good, 30 more than the average. Yeah, tasty game week. I took a -4 to get my extra Leeds player in. So I ended up bringing in Strike and Bamford. Wonderful decision. Put the captain's armband on Bamford, which I think was a very popular decision for this game week. He ended up on 16, which is a very nice Strike. Ended up on 8. And then Dallas, who, remember we were saying on the last podcast, maybe we should captain a Leeds player each, a different Leeds player each. And I said I was going to do Dallas, and he got 17 without the armband. Gutted I didn't do that. But would have been an absolute madman to do that. So I'm still happy with his 17 points. Cancelo got me 5. Sterling, he got his goal, got me 8. Fernandez got 12. Madison scored again, 9 points for him. And then it was just Adams with 2 games, only got 3 points. He's just a cursed FPL asset. Stay away from Adams. And then Salah, Gundogan and Mendy all blanked. We had this discussion, didn't we, Luke, over whether I should play Maguire or not. And I was desperate to get Maguire in because I was convinced the Newcastle weren't going to score against Manchester United, and Maguire would get me a nice, healthy, clean sheet bonus. But obviously they did. But Maguire still ended up on 5 points because he assisted Rashford's goal. So, you know, whatever. 5 points. I would have had to play him over Salah or Gundogan to get his points. So he was never going to start ahead of them. So yeah, 85 points up to 567k. So I think the new aim for this season is to finish inside that top 500,000. So hopefully that can be achieved. What about you? How did you get on?
Yeah, good game week, Rich. And it came down to Maguire versus Cancelo, didn't it? And I was like, please, please, Rich, do not play Maguire versus Cancelo. Please, please, please. And then, you know, again, United looked really poor at the back and Newcastle got a well-deserved goal. San Maximan, I said, didn't I? San Maximan will tear us to shreds and he caused a lot of problems. And Maguire got a very, very lucky assist. You know, Rashford did all that work. But yeah, I must admit, when we went 1-0 up and Maguire got the assist, I was like, oh my God, have I told Rich to bench Maguire and he's going to come up with a 12 pointer? But thankfully that didn't happen. Obviously I'd have preferred a clean sheet for United, but we won the game, so it was fine. I'm just treading water. I've got another small red arrow this week. I kind of keep getting either small greens or small reds. I got 72 points, -4, so 68 overall, which, you know, again, hitting the targets. And what's happening this year, for the first time in gosh, ever maybe, the averages seem to be higher than normal. I think my average points per game week so far is about 65, maybe going up to towards 66. Normally, that would get, you know, top 10K, and maybe that will still be the case at the end of the season if I manage to keep that up. So I'm not panicking just yet.
Because you've pretty much averaged it every week. Right, at least 60 points.
Yeah, I mean, all I do is just take my total score and then divide it by the amount of game weeks. So at the moment, I think it's around 65. And obviously last season, 68 per game week won the whole of FPL.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd imagine if we have a little look now overall, I'm just loading that
about
up.
About what, so, the average has been every week.
Exactly. So the leader of FPL at the moment has 1,836 points. Divide that by 25. Yeah, they're averaging 73.4 points per game week.
Jesus.
The leader of FPL at the moment. That's huge. That is absolutely huge. So
I on this week, I
perhaps
see.
Average wise, you need to be aiming for even more this season. It's tricky. So yeah, red arrow down to 88,900. So I'm still in that top 100K, which I'm happy about. But I think I may have to revise my target and kind of go for top 50K now and see what happens from there. But yeah, I just keep missing out on those right decisions. Like, I didn't bring Dallas in. I finally got rid of Robertson.
Oh, did you? Finally
got rid of Robertson. I made three transfers. I took Robertson out and I brought Matt Target in for Villa, thinking about their double game week in 26. Because Leeds obviously don't double in 26. And then Villa also playing that blank game week. So that was my thinking behind not going for Dallas, because also I knew I wanted to play Diaz, Stones and Lowton.
Right.
At the back this week, which worked. You know, Diaz 7, Stone 6, Lowton 6. I also brought in Martinez. Finally got Martinez. And it was the first week that he got 2 points in God knows how long. And Sam Johnston sat on my bench with 7.
Oh, so frustrating. West Brom goalkeeper.
So frustrating.
I've got Martinez in net with a big 11 points from Rui Patricio sitting on the bench.
Oh yeah. God! I mean, thank God for Bailey Peacock Farrell and his regular benching.
I mean, I'm glad I've got Martinez in my team now, but that hurts. And then also, I took Suchek out for Rafinha, which paid off nicely. Rafinha with 12 points, so that was worth it. Captain Bamford, disappointing really from him. Only 8 points from 2 games. That's poor, really. Considering, you know,
the double game
Dallas week. Dallas got 17, double game week, Rafinha got 12. Again, wrong decision there. Bruno Fernandes with 12, but that didn't make a difference because that actually more people captained him. So so that didn't help. Calvert-Lewin with his assist when he came on, and I've got Antonio on my bench with 7. Son, Gundogan and Salah, of course, blanking. So again, like, you know, 72 points. That's not a bad game week in normal normal circumstances with a minus 468. So yeah, I'm kind of stuck with what to do, and I feel like I'm treading water too much, and I look at my team on live FPL and my template rating is like 85%, something like that. So
right,
there's not a lot of players in there that are going to really boost my rank. So I feel like,
can you just explain that, Luke? So on live FPL, it tells you how similar your team is to every other team, is it?
Exactly, yeah. So there's a template rating. I think it's how similar it is to teams in the top 10K.
Right.
Something like that. So obviously, if you've got a lot of highly owned players, and I know we've spoken about this before, and of course, if you've got a lot of highly owned players and they all perform and they all do well, you're still going to get a green arrow, of course. But at the same time, if you've got a lot of highly owned players and only a few of them do well and the rest don't, and then other players that are maybe more highly owned that you haven't got, or players that are, you know, more differential type players do well, you're gonna struggle. So I'm thinking, can I do things a tiny bit differently and maybe just start to look at players that aren't as highly owned and that are just as likely to return as the big dogs, you know, that everybody has got? Can I start to think out of the box a little bit and have a bit of fun with these last kind of 13 or so game weeks? Having said that, I've done that before and it really hasn't worked out. But I think just having one or two in there, based on everything that I look for, stats, form, fixtures, but picking players that still have just as much chance of returning that haven't got as high ownership, I think it would be quite fun to own, you know?
Yeah, would it be an idea to maybe, say, for example, Leicester are playing West Brom or something like that at home, and somebody, I don't know, Leicester, who's been doing well but isn't a regular, like Tielemans or something like that, like maybe bring Tielemans in for like one game week or something like that and just have your fingers crossed that he's going to deliver because he's playing West Brom, and then maybe ship him out next week for somebody else of a similar price bracket, maybe have a gamble every week on a different player rather than having a consistent differential, if you see what I mean. Constant differential.
Possibly. I mean, the problem with that is you can't bank on just having that luxury every week to make one transfer for one player and then take them out again. And I think someone like Tielemans wouldn't be a great punt. I'm more thinking of players that are performing well stats wise that perhaps haven't been scoring the goals. This game week, for instance, Jamie Vardy would be the perfect example of this. Obviously, it's perhaps not the best option up front because of Harry Kane's fixtures and because Harry Kane plays in blank game week 29. But if I was on a wild card, I'd probably be looking to bring in Kane and Vardy. Now, Vardy has only scored one goal in his last... This is in the last six games, right? Vardy's only scored one goal, but he's had 17 shots and he's had six big chances. Six big chances, that's huge. At least one big chance per game. And he hasn't played full 90 minutes in those six games either. So someone like Vardy would be perfect for this week because people will own him, but he's not as highly owned as he won't be as highly owned as some of the other players. There's a real potential upswing there because of his form, and he just needs to improve his finishing. And we know Vardy is clinical. So he's obviously had a run of a few games where he's still statistically, he's way up there, providing the shots in the box, big chances, all that kind of stuff. But his goal conversion rate's like 5%. So if he can get that up to 15, 20%,
could bang.
Vardy's going to bang. Do you know what I mean? So it's stuff like that that I'm now looking at, which I did before, but I haven't really looked properly at stats for a while now. And I think if something's not working, I tend to go, well, maybe I should revert back to this method of picking players now for a bit and see what happens, you know.
Back into the number crunching, analysing all the spreadsheets and all the statistics. Oh,
yeah.
Just go with your gut. That's what I say. I'm thinking Yuri Tielemans. No, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of what my thinking is. Having said that, I probably won't be bringing in Vardy this week because Kane does seem like the better option. But then I have Son. So it's like, well, what do I do with Son? Do I keep Son? Yeah. Do I get rid of Son? There's plenty to think about that we'll talk about throughout this, and hopefully you two can help me with. Ben, how did you do?
Well, traditionally, boys, people say it's a season of two halves. I'm going to go for this as a season of three thirds, because this is it now. Finally, FPL is making me happy. This week, I got 80 points minus four because I brought in three Leeds players. Those players happen to be Dallas, Rafinha, and Bamford. So when I couldn't believe it. I was delighted. That is when you should take a minus four.
Did Luke lend you his crystal ball that got him the Matthew Loughton goal the week before?
You know, I mean, the first game against Wolves, I was really disappointed, thinking, oh God, what have I done here? Because I really expected Leeds haven't been bad on the road. Like it was that 5-0 smashing. Who did they smash 5-0? They've had a few moments
West
like
Brom.
That this season. Yeah, it was West Brom. Yeah. But like, I expected them to put in a couple past Wolves. But yeah, delighted with 76 this week. And also, boys, I'm on the wild card. So it's always an exciting time, isn't it? But I really do feel now like, you know, I've had a rough season so far, all the way from game week one, where some big teams blanked in the very first week. It just threw me off and I haven't quite been able to catch up. But I'm finally, I know that there's 8 million players in the game. I've finally broken into that. I've been like 2.1, 2.3, 2.2 million, unfortunately. But now I'm back into the top 2 million. And my final aim now is top 500k this season. So that's where I've got my targets. I've got my wild card. I've got my free hit ready for blank game week 29. I've got my bench boost ready for whenever that happens next. I'm up for it. I'm excited. Don't lose faith in FPL, everyone. I know there's a few people on Twitter this week going, oh, God, stupid game, I hate it. It's brilliant. It's great. We're all having fun.
I would absolutely love to see you jump into the top 500k, just because 1.5 million people you'd have to go ahead of. That's basically the entire population of Liverpool. You would have to be better at FPL than everybody in Liverpool to get ahead of them. And I'm up for it. I reckon you could do it.
I'm honestly feeling good, especially with the wildcard team I put together, which I know we're going to go through.
Okay.
But, I mean, first of all, should we go to the FPL news desk?
Yes, can you insert a little news flash here in the production?
The FPL news desk from Triple Captain.
News flash done.
Beautiful. That is dramatic. I feel like I'm on Sky News. Go on, let's get the news then. Breaking.
It's quite exciting, really, because obviously, you know, 8 million people across the world play FPL. It's growing every year, but, you know, in terms of how many people are in the world, it's still not many. So it is, I suppose, it's a niche activity. You say niche, it's all my friends play it. So it feels like in my bubble, my echo chamber of life, everyone in the world plays FPL, but they don't. So it's exciting to see FPL make the actual headlines about something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Have you seen that Villa, the mighty Aston Villa, Dean Smith has banned all players from playing FPL because apparently, like, I said this a few weeks ago, that could this happen? We were like, actually, yeah, you can't see people's teams until after the deadline, etc. Apparently, some geek somewhere has been set up this computer program which has been tracking all the FPL players' teams. How they've done it, I don't know, but let's face it, you know, I can just about turn our computer, log on to Zoom, use Twitter occasionally. I know that there's people out there who are fantastic with computers, but they've basically been tracking Premier League players' teams and it's the Grealish news that got leaked, apparently, yeah, as a result of FPL and these bots that are tracking people like Matt Target.
It's a great, great idea, because obviously when I started working at Everton, I was like, oh, I get the team news before everybody else. And we thought that was the way in, but it's not. This is like the backdoor kind of way to get in the team news before a ball's even been kicked on the training ground.
And just to confirm, Rich, you don't get early access, do you?
I don't, unfortunately.
No.
Sadly. I know, I thought I'd have an advantage. So, yeah, sorry, everybody. But yeah, I mean, it's absolutely mental. But how did this guy get all the fantasy football like teams for all the players in the Premier League or something like that? Is he just like hacking emails like jackgrealish@gmail.com? Reset passwords, something like that.
Obviously, they are using their real names. Like, Matt Target is just Matt Target on there.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Patrick Bamford plays FPL because he keeps captioning himself. He talks about it every single week.
He talks about FPL more than himself. The actual match, I swear.
Yeah. But I suppose, yeah, they just, like, if you're a football player, you definitely play. I mean, the question is, would you put yourself in? That you got to, haven't you?
I mean, you'd be fuming, wouldn't you, if you were Dean Smith? I mean, the fact that that kind of thing got leaked because the players are playing. I mean, and obviously they ended up losing the game. Whether it would have been, you know, affected or not, I don't know, because quite often in press conferences, managers tell the press when key players are going to be out anyway. But obviously, maybe Dean Smith wanted to keep it under wraps, and the fact that Villa lost, he's blamed it on the fantasy teams being revealed. But
I mean, that's not the reason. Leicester had a stunning game. Like,
exactly.
I was
and
gutted.
Leicester are banging for, you know, and I think, we should talk about Leicester really for game week 26, because they've been overlooked all season, haven't they? And I think everyone now, including us, are really coming round to the idea of having a few Leicester in our teams.
Well, Leicester are third in the Premier League table. You know, 49 points, same as Man United. 4 goals behind them in terms of goal difference. They're having a fantastic season. Like, surely Leicester are finishing top four.
I think so. But Madison got injured in the game against Villa. So.
Yeah, you say that. Madison...
Is he definitely out?
Find out today.
He got injured. He tried to carry on and then he walked off. So, I don't know. I think they were protecting him, to be honest.
Well, they were protecting him. I did the game for TalkSport, and he's obviously like their most creative player. But I think he went down firstly with an ankle injury, but then a moment later he went down with a hip injury, and the hip injury kept him out earlier on in the season.
The hip injury.
So I don't know. They've got a game tonight in the Europa League. I presume he's going to be missing for that. Mm. But, you know, gives the opportunity for somebody to come in from the FPL team who maybe wouldn't start, maybe like Cengiz Under. or something like that. He's played quite a lot in the Europa League and in the FA Cup, and he looks a decent player. Yeah, could be an option.
Do you think it will affect their output? Madison not being
absolutely. He's so creative. He's just everything comes from him. He's got to be, out of all those young English talents for England, he's got to be the first one that Southgate chooses. Because there's nobody else in the
really?
England. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because nobody else, in the number 10 position I'm talking about, because nobody else picks up the ball from midfield with a back to goal, turns and runs at goal. Madison's the guy who does that. It's a shame for Leicester that if he gets injured and he's out for a few weeks, because he's their number one force at the moment. He's in great goal scoring form and all.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, Rodgers said we'll see how he is. We took him off as a precaution, not to make it any worse. It's the first time he's felt it since his operation. We're hoping it's okay. We'll see how that is over the next 2 days. Yeah, so I guess just wait and see if you own Madison or you're planning to bring him in. I mean, particularly this double game week, you don't want to make your transfers early and then be done by an injury or, you know, not get your player in. So just wait until Friday night.
Wait for the press conferences.
Once the press conferences are done. Wait until these Europa League matches are out of the way as well, because there might be more injuries there. And then make your decisions. I think that's probably the best advice we can give on transfers, isn't it?
Right, Ben, it is your wild card weekend. Should we talk about this?
Well, yeah, I'd like to. I suppose I've got lots of questions, and I'd like to carry on with Leicester for a little bit longer, because I'd love to know your opinion on Vardy, because I was obviously watching the Villa game up the Villa, and I was unimpressed with Jamie Vardy. It did seem like everything that Leicester were creating was a joint effort between Harvey Barnes and James Maddison. And therefore, I am definitely going Kane in my wildcard team. The fixtures, but also Tottenham aren't playing particularly well. There's lots of stuff going on at Tottenham. Mourinho's always in the press having a moan at the moment. But it doesn't matter with a player like Harry Kane. He was very unlucky not to score a few times at the weekend. And he's just, like, Son wasn't in the game as much, but Kane is just always there. So I'm going to go Kane. My question, though, is, obviously, James Justin has been an FPL hero this season.
Yeah.
He's out now. Pereira was back on. Pereira was playing right mid, wasn't he, Rich? Rather than, what was that new
Pereira
young lad,
was
Thomas, playing right back?
Yeah, Thomas. Now, Thomas came in at left back, and they played left Castagna back, at right back and Pereira as right wing. So Pereira could be an option once again.
He was in and around the box so much against Villa.
Yeah.
Like, he was playing so high up the pitch. So I'm thinking, is Pereira a potential FPL option? Boys, what do you think?
Well, I was going to bring him up because I'm going to bring him in for this double game week, because I think, I might be wrong in saying, but I think he had 3 or 4 shots in that game against Aston Villa, more than anybody else for Villa. Like, he looked a real threat. He's not like Harvey Barnes, where he cuts inside. He almost runs wider, if you know what I mean, because he's right-footed. He's playing on the right, so he's going to try and get down that line, whereas Harvey Barnes probably got more of a goal threat because he's cutting inside. But Pereira's got a goal in him. Absolutely. You got to remember, he's been out for a long, long time. I think he got an ACL injury, was it, which kept him out for the best part of a year. But he looks so, so dangerous coming forward. And when he was at right back, he had an eye for goal. But now he's playing right wing. You'd like to think his goal threat all of a sudden has increased. And we were talking about differentials before. I don't know what his ownership is, but it's got to be less than 1%. I'd say something like that, because he's been out for so long. 0.8% is his ownership. So I'm seriously considering bringing him in, because I've got the budget to do so. He's not too much the difficult move away from Maguire to bring him in. So he could definitely be an option. But you mentioned Vardy just then. They're playing Arsenal, and Jamie Vardy against Arsenal just go hand in hand. I think he's got 11 goals in 12 games against Arsenal, Jamie Vardy. So it's just, it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, he's bang out of form. Well, he's not bang out of form, but he's not in great goal scoring form. And they're coming up against Arsenal, who have been pretty average all season. It just seems so great for him in this game. You know what
it
I mean?
It does. And maybe if Madison is out, Vardy will pick up the slack almost.
And he's on penalties as well. And, you know, this Arsenal defence.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying go Vardy over Kane, But if you're on a wild card, can you fit them both in?
And who is on a wild card?
And Ben is on a wild card. I mean, he did this last time, and we warned you off it, didn't we, Ben? Like picking three big money strikers. But I think now could be the time to do it. I mean, you need Kane. I think I agree with you there. I think you need Kane because Tottenham play in 29 against Villa. Mm. So you've got Kane, who's arguably got the best double game week out of everyone, and Burnley, he plays in 29. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. But can you fit Jamie Vardy in as well? Where would you have to sacrifice? You'd probably have to sacrifice Mo Salah, wouldn't you?
Well, I've already sacrificed Mo Salah. I've already decided that I'm fed up with Mo. And, I mean, he's still top scorer. Am I right in thinking that?
I think he is, after
his early run. He's been so quiet now. At the moment, my top three up front, I've got Kane, obviously Burnley at home, then Fulham away. Calvert-Lewin, who seems to be coming back. Southampton at home and then West Brom away. And I've kept Ollie Watkins for Villa, who's got Leeds away and Sheffield United away. Now, I suppose if I was going to sacrifice anyone there, it would have to be Ollie Watkins. Again, just going back to that Villa-Leicester game, Ollie Watkins played like he always does. He attacks, he's all over the pitch, left, right, he runs the ball. He kept looking behind him to pass the ball to Grealish, and Jack Grealish wasn't there.
Yeah, and Barkley wasn't there either.
And Barkley wasn't. Barkley just didn't. I mean, Barkley went off in a... He got taken off, went off in a huff.
He was awful.
He just didn't play anywhere near well enough. Unbelievable. No. But I worry about Villa without Grealish, and especially attacking options. I think defensively, you know, I've bought in Ezri Konsa. I've bought Ezri Konsa back. He's got an eye for goal. But yes, they've got Leeds and Sheffield United. I can see Villa keeping clean sheets. We've had a few. I mean, Leicester, obviously. I just think Leicester played really well. But I do worry about Villa's attacking assets without Grealish. And a lot of people have got Ollie Watkins. Ollie Watkins is currently 24.6% selected.
Is he? Wow. That's really high. I didn't realise he'd be that high. I think Villa can get this Leeds defence for sure. You know, it's patched up. I mean, Southampton are just hopeless. I mean, they'll probably beat Everton this weekend now, saying that. But I think I'm right in saying earlier on this season, Leeds beat Villa 3-1, was it? And I think Bamford had an absolute worldie of a game. Yeah. And this has been the kind of season where there's not been too many doubles, if you know what I mean, because teams have been so inconsistent. They often haven't won at home and away against the same team. Where, you know, this game, they'll be looking for some kind of revenge, Aston Villa, I'd imagine, because Leeds are now top half, aren't they, and chasing the leading pack. So I think Villa could be in for some revenge here, and I think against that patched up Leeds defence, you know, it could be a good day for Ollie Watkins. But like you say, they're definitely missing Grealish, because, yeah, he's the creative force.
And Grealish definitely not going to be back?
Don't know. It's been so quiet. I've heard some.
We need to see their FPL teams, don't we? Damn it!
Yeah, there's no way Smith's going to reveal it now, is there? Either there's no way he's going to reveal if Grealish is back or not.
No. Some people have said 3 months. I've heard that it's his shin. Some people have said a week. You know, it really nobody knows. But I mean, like, you know,
how did he get the injury?
It must be in training. It wasn't in a game. But yeah. Like, you know, this I've just googled Grealish now, and there's a story here. John McGinn, Aston Villa can win without Jack Grealish. So it just, you know, it just feels like he isn't.
But yeah, it's putting me off Watkins, definitely. I don't have him now. But I mean, it would be an easy switch from, say, Antonio to Watkins for the double. But I think really I need to get Kane in there. And it does put you off, doesn't it, without Grealish. And Watkins isn't the best finisher. He has lots of chances. But the reason that, you know, he's a little bit, you know, if you throw enough at a wall, some of it will stick. And yeah. Grealish puts it on a plate for him a lot.
He's a hard worker. He's a hard worker.
Absolutely. I'm not taking away from the fact he's a great player and a good FPL asset when Grealish is on the pitch. But there's lots of times where Grealish lays it on a plate for him and he misses it.
Yeah.
So now he's got to be even more clinical, which he isn't. So yeah. that does put you off, doesn't it? Especially when Calvert-Lewin's got such a good double game week coming up now.
Yeah.
Off the back of that win against Liverpool.
Are you absolutely dead cert on Harry Kane? Because Tottenham just—I don't think they look very good. That's the thing. I'm looking through their results now, and obviously they lost to West Ham. They got trounced by Man City. We beat them in the FA Cup. All right, they beat West Brom, but before that, they'd lost to Brighton. They'd lost to Chelsea. They lost to Liverpool. They drew with Fulham. You know, they've not had a great 2021, to be honest. Tottenham, is that one win in the league in 2021?
They haven't. But having said that, you have to look at fixtures and form. I know Burnley and Fulham isn't actually that good at the moment, because Fulham are in top form defensively. Burnley defensively, if Burnley don't concede in the first 15, 20 minutes of a game, they can hold out and they might only lose 1 or 2-0. But they are two good fixtures, and it's a double game week. It's Harry Kane. And I'm looking at the stats now, and he's had them in his last six matches. He's had the most shots out of everybody in the league, apart from James Maddison. Madison's had 21 shots as well in his last six matches. But obviously, majority of them have been outside the box. Kane's had 12 in the box out of those 21. So that's not huge, but it's still right up there. He's had four big chances. He scored three goals in his last six games as well. And he's got that assist potential.
Yeah, he does.
So all I think with Tottenham, I think, well, they're probably going to score against Burnley and Fulham.
Yeah.
And if they do score, the likelihood is it's going to be Harry Kane, and he's on penalties.
Yeah,
so
that's
true. for me, he's still a triple captain option for this game week.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at the results there from earlier in the season. They drew with Fulham 1-1. Kane scored that day, and then I remember the Burnley game because it was one of those games where both teams were set up to defend. So it was going to be like a corner or something like that, and I think it was Son heading it on to Kane, who flicked it in at the back post. It was a goal from a corner that won it for Tottenham. So I'm just concerned that he might score a goal, but I think Fernandes is more likely to get more than one goal.
He's not just involved in open play, Kane, though. Like, his free kick, like, it was so, he just skimmed the right post, and it was like he had a few of those moments where on another day he would be double digit hauling. Like, it doesn't matter that the team around him aren't performing particularly well.
And I mean, Son, on the other hand, has really gone off the boil. You know, one goal in his last six, really not looking as threatening as he was. And Son's great on the counter-attack, isn't he, and running in behind. And Burnley and Fulham aren't going to give Spurs that opportunity. Very much doubt that they're going to give them that opportunity. So therefore, for me, I'm actually thinking of taking Son out and bringing in Harvey Barnes, and then doing Antonio to Kane. I don't like sideways moves. I don't like sideways moves, but at the same time, I think Kane is outperforming Son by quite a considerable margin at the moment, according to the stats. And Harvey Barnes is playing brilliantly, and he's also outperforming Son. So really, you're going, well, I expect Harvey Barnes to score more than Son in this double. And I expect Kane to return as well. And Kane's that triple captain option. I wouldn't be comfortable triple captaining Son. But having said that, Harvey Barnes doesn't play in 29 and Son does. You do have to think about 29. If you're not using a free hit or you haven't got a chip for 29, you have got to work towards, you know, you want to get at least 8 or 9 players that play in that blank game week. I think I've got 5 at the moment. And if I make these moves this week, I'll still have 5. So then I've got 3 free transfers to get up to 8 blank game weeks, maybe take a -4 to get to 9. So it doesn't look too bad for me. Once that Villa Spurs game got put in there, you're laughing really, aren't you? Because there's actually decent options. And then I'll probably wild card in 31 because Spurs and Villa and a few others have really nice fixtures in game week 30. So yeah, that's the kind of, yeah, the plea for Kane. I mean, Bruno Fernandes, of course, brilliant option as well, isn't he? And we say it every week. Why aren't we just putting the armband on him every week? Again, this week he outscored Bamford in one game.
Yeah.
And United are very, very good at winning penalties. And he puts them away. Again, it was Rashford this time, winning a pen. Rashford, another good option, by the way, for this double game week. Looking good again. A little bit wasteful, but good. I'm not getting rid of Salah. by the way.
I think you do that at your own peril, don't you? It opens up funds, I understand the thinking, but...
I think he scored four in his last six. He should have scored against Everton. Pickford made a brilliant save. He has big chances every game, and he's had six big chances in his last six. I know all I'm doing is reading out stats this week, but I think it's worth doing ahead of a double game week when a lot of people will be thinking, oh, do I move off Salah? I don't think you should before he has a double. Don't get me wrong. If I was on a wild card, I'd be very tempted to go without him. But as it is, I don't think I can get rid of him before a double, especially as Son's has really gone off the boil, as have Spurs as a team, haven't they? I think you can probably go with just Kane rather than both.
Yeah. My dilemma in terms of my wild card dilemma is Fernandes is 60.4% owned. He's got 30 bonus points this season so far. He's got 190 points overall. Fernandes, you've got to have him, because if you don't have him, you'll suffer. If he bangs, which he will, he absolutely will. For me, it's De Bruyne or Salah. And part of me, and I think that's the gamble, because De Bruyne is currently 11.5% selected.
Mm.
We've seen De Bruyne go out on injury, come back and absolutely smash it. I'm thinking the beginning of last season, when not many people had De Bruyne in their teams. I think all three of us did from the off. And it paid huge dividends. Man City have got more difficult fixtures than Liverpool on paper, but then Liverpool have got teams like Leeds and Villa coming up, West Ham, who are they have. It sounds silly to say this, but is De Bruyne a risk at the price of 11.6? I think 11.8 is at the moment.
I think because Manchester City have got so many players who've proven that they can step up to cover De Bruyne. He might not play 90 minutes in both of those games. So, especially because I'm come back from the injury that he's kept him out for the best part of 2021. I understand what you mean, because, last season, when he came back from being out for pretty much all the season previous, like, we paid huge dividends for him. I think I brought him in for, 11 and he ended up finishing the season at 12 or something like that. But, I know what you mean. It is a gamble and it could pay off massively. But, like you said, you're trying to get into the top 500,000. It's these sort of gambles that will get you there. And Kevin De Bruyne in the past has scored massive results in individual game weeks. And, the teams he's playing don't really matter, because he's such a class footballer and he can make anything happen against any team. So, I don't know. I think it'd be a good decision, but at the same time, I could see nothing coming out of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you know what? I think so. The other option, I've upgraded to Cancelo as well from Diaz. I think that's a nice, just to kind of finish off my wild card. The only final question I have on wild cards is, and again, a lot of people will be thinking the same thing. Rich,
so who are your three City, Ben? Have you got three City?
Yeah, I've got Cancelo, Stones, and De Bruyne.
And is Stones over Diaz purely a money thing?
Yeah, purely money.
Right. Okay.
And of course, John Stones is goal threat.
Yeah, of course. But Diaz is the man. I mean, we've got to remember that Diaz is the absolute man for City, and he's first choice, isn't he?
It's money.
But I do like the Cancelo shout, and I think he's got a higher ceiling. So fair enough. So you've got Diaz, Cancelo, and you're thinking De Bruyne.
So I've got Stones, Cancelo, and De Bruyne. Yeah.
Sorry, Stones, Cancelo, and De Bruyne. Yeah. I mean, the problem, the slight issue with De Bruyne is that they've proved to Pep that they can win very comfortably without him. Yeah. So there's no need for Pep to rush De Bruyne back. And I think they're taking it slow with him. So it might just be a little bit too early to have him. And I think when Gundogan's 6.1 million, just keep Gundogan for now. You can't get better value than that. I mean, yes, he's perhaps not as much of a threat in the last game or two, but he still looked really good against Arsenal. And I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think keep Gundogan in your team for now as your third. If you're going double City defence, then keep Gundogan. If I was going double City attack, I'd go Sterling and Gundogan for now, because Sterling's looking great again, scoring goals. De Bruyne is just coming back. So that's what I'd be thinking. If I was going double City, I'd Gundogan would be first choice for me still because of that value. And then you can spend the rest of, you can spend that extra money elsewhere.
Mm. Oh, Ben, you're going to have such a busy week making draft teams.
I suppose my final question is in regards, I'm just looking at it now, actually. If I swapped out KDB for Gundogan, that means I could have a front three of Kane, Calvert-Lewin and Vardy for this double game
week. Tasty. That does sound tasty. And then you've got Kane for the blank as well.
That sounds very, very tasty. Yeah, just remember, Ben, when you're planning, think about that blank game week as well.
Yeah.
Make sure you've got five or six players in there that maybe also play in 29.
I'm going to free hit it, I think, in 29 anyway.
Oh, you've got free hit?
Yeah, because I'm just looking at Ben Crellin's fixtures. It looks like this is going to be the last, that 29 is the last blank, isn't it? The last major blank.
33 is a blank as well, but it's not as big.
Yeah, so I think I might free hit it for that blank. But my last question is, Rich, about Calvert-Lewin. Like, we've seen him go on great runs of form where every game, like especially at the start of the season, he was returning every single game.
Yeah.
We've also seen him out injured the last couple of weeks. Obviously, he didn't play against Fulham. He didn't play against Man City. He did come back and play in the derby. 28 minutes, got himself an assist. Is it, again, is it too early on De Bruyne? Is it too early on Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
It could be, just because Richarlison played very well, playing in place of Calvert-Lewin. He's had a few goals recently in the Cup and in the league, and he looks pretty dangerous, but Calvert-Lewin is such a focal point for the team. So I think if he's brought him off the bench for that game, you know, he's had a week of training or a week of rest, whatever he's had, I think he'll probably start Calvert-Lewin in the home game for sure. And if he's playing in the Southampton game, he's almost definitely going to play in the West Brom game as well. It's so difficult to say with Everton, because Southampton obviously on this awful run of form, but we've been awful at home, which is bizarre, because we're usually awful away from home and brilliant at home. But the season's been the complete opposite. It's a difficult one for me. I think if you had to pick anybody at Everton, I'd pick Luca Dean, because he's been absolutely superb at left back, and he's always got that goal threat from free kicks and stuff as well, and he just loves a cross. He put one in for Coleman in the derby who had like a header from 6 yards out, and he just hit it straight at Alisson, and that would have been another assist for him on another day.
But Rich, would you go for Dean over Pereira then this game week?
Southampton and
No, I wouldn't, just because Pereira's playing as a winger rather than a wing back.
Yeah, again, just quickly on Pereira, my worry about him is that they seem to be managing his minutes as well, you know, because he's just come back from injury. He's played a couple of 90 minutes, but they took him off early. And will he definitely play on the wing? It's not definite, is it?
No, I mean, they could play All Brighton, but I don't think All Brighton's got an assist or a goal all season. So I just don't think he's as creative.
Everton may also double in 28, by the way.
Really?
Yes. So I think Luca Dean's probably a slightly better shout than Pereira. Ooh. At the moment.
I could bring them both in.
Do you want a couple of interesting stats, right? Just to toy with your mind even more.
Look at poor Ben.
Which defender has had the most shots in the league out of all the defenders in his last six games?
Oh, in the last six games?
In his last six games, yeah. Who's had the most shots out of the defenders?
Cancelo.
Cancelo is second with 11 shots.
Is it going to be somebody we really don't expect? Is it going to be like Dallas? Is it going to be
We mentioned him a couple of weeks ago when we had a guest on.
Okay. Is it Shaw?
It's not. Okay. It's Marcus Golonzo.
Is it? Golonzo.
It's Golonzo. He's had 13 shots in his last six games. Cancelo's second with 11. He's had 20 penalty area touches. So he's top for penalty area touches as well, out of defenders. He's also had one big chance, and 9 shots in the box. Now, for me, I know if Chelsea had a good double game week here, I'd be bringing him in.
Yeah.
But they don't. It's annoying because they don't. They're playing United and they're playing Liverpool.
Mm.
But
I've got Mendy
for differential...
Goal.
For a differential, Ben, I'd maybe be thinking about putting him in the...
Yeah.
We haven't actually spoken about Luke Shaw either. Luke Shaw is suddenly creating... He's created more chances than Andy Robertson this season.
Yeah,
he's
mental.
He just looks insane. He looks like he's going to get an assist every game at the moment.
It's bizarre. He's going to be first choice for England.
Yeah. United's clean sheet potential isn't great, but Luke Shaw's created 19 chances in his last six games. I mean, that's mental. Huge.
That's ridiculous.
That's huge.
He's basically Perlo.
United have got a double. Four assists in his last six. I mean, if United could keep clean sheets, he'd be in everyone's team, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he really would. Oh, my God. Well, Ben, I hope you have got lots of information from this podcast.
I have. Just quickly, sorry, Rich. Rodriguez, 6 points against Liverpool.
Weirdly, Rodriguez is a rotation risk for Everton. He doesn't start every game. He tends to start Rodriguez against the better teams, if you know what I mean. Maybe because he gets a bit more space to move around in. So... yeah, he's better at home than he is away. And I think against Southampton, he could deliver because Southampton haven't been great defensively. He could be an option, but he wouldn't be top of the list for me.
Speaking of Southampton, boys, so I know that we need to wrap up because I'm the one that needs to go today and I'm the one that keeps talking.
Aren't you going to do a workout after this? Aren't you just putting off the workout?
Yeah, I am. Me and Jim do it on Instagram every day. So speaking of Southampton, yes, they do have Everton at Goodison this weekend. Then they have Sheffield United, Man City, obviously tricky, but then Brighton, Burnley, West Ham, Crystal Palace. There's a nice little run for Southampton there. Is it time for Minamino?
They've got a couple of doubles, haven't they, Southampton?
Yeah, and he's now their creative force, isn't he, basically?
Luke, if you're talking about differentials, 0.7% selected Minamino, who got 10 points this game week.
Yeah. He could seriously be an asset.
I wouldn't bring him in yet because of they don't double now in 26, do they? But I mean, he's a wait and see for me. I mean, I'm talking differentials, but I don't know if I'm talking like that much of a differential. I think it's a little bit of a risk, isn't it? I mean,
it could pay off.
I don't know. It could pay off. It could pay off. They've got more doubles, and I might bring him in for those extra doubles, for sure.
Yeah, you've got to remember as well, Southampton probably have the thinnest squad in the Premier League at the moment now. So he's going to have to start his strongest team and, you know, bring him Minamino on loan in January. You know, he didn't bring him in to sit him on the bench. He's going to be playing him. And he looks like a decent footballer, got to say. And Liverpool could probably do with him, to be honest. There are so many injuries. Can't believe they're loaning players out. But yeah, he could be an option for you. But, you know, it's your wild card, Ben. You do you.
Thanks, hun.
Exactly.
You do you, hun.
Should we talk captains very quickly? Rich, are you going to be playing triple captain this week?
I think I am. I think I flipping am. Yeah. I'm going to put it on Bruno Fernandes. Manchester United have been great away from home this season. I think I might be right in saying they've got the best away record in the Premier League this season. And they've got Chelsea, which could be tricky, but they've got Edouard Mendy in goal, so anything's possible. Crystal Palace, they're a great win against Brighton, got to say. They must have been absolutely buzzing with that. In the stupidest derby in the country, the M23 derby. It's not a thing. Come on. But yeah, he's just the man, isn't he? He's not one of the best players in FPL, one of the best players in the league. Yeah, Fernandes. Don't let me down, son.
And who are you going to bring in?
I'm going to get rid of Mendy because he's playing Chelsea. He's playing Man United and he's playing Liverpool, is it? Yeah, so Man United and Liverpool.
Do you really
Liverpool.
Want to make a goalkeeper transfer before a double though? Even though he's got a double.
Yeah, but look who he's playing and he's been awful.
I know. What are you going to do, bring in Martinez?
Bring in Martinez, yeah. I want to get rid of Adams, but he's just going to sit on my bench for another game week, basically, Shea Adams. But yeah, triple captain is on Fernandes. That is the headline for my game week.
Yeah, I'm similar. I'm pretty set I'm going to bring in Harry Kane. If I do bring in Harry Kane, it's most likely going to be triple captain Kane. Fernandes is also an option though, of course, so I could potentially switch to triple captain Fernandes. And then if I do that, I think if I'm bringing Kane in, I've got to triple captain him really, because why else am I going to bring him in? If I don't bring Kane in and I keep Son, then the triple captain's on Fernandes. And it means that I wouldn't need to take a minus four to get to 11 double game weekers. I've got, I could go Rafinha straight to Barnes and play a 4-5-1 with Calvert-Lewin up front. It does mean I'm playing Lowton, who hasn't got the best fixtures for Burnley, but you never know. They might spring a surprise and keep a clean sheet in one of those. So I've still got a little bit of thinking to do, but I'm swaying much more towards Harry Kane, triple captain.
Oh, it's all so exciting all of a sudden. What about you? What about you, Ben?
Kane, captain. I wasted my triple captain on Mo Salah weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. What did he get in that game week?
2, I think.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Painful. Yeah, we don't have the best of luck with this, do we? With our triple captain in.
It's mad, really, isn't it, that we're going into a double game week and we're not talking about Mo Salah as a triple captain option, and he's got Sheffield United in one of his games.
Yeah.
I mean, it just proves how far Liverpool have fallen from grace at the moment.
But so, he's still doing well, though, so he could bang.
Sheffield
United probably won't score against Liverpool, let's be honest. They're pretty pony going forward, aren't they? So
time for Andy Robertson to come back in. No, he's gone. Andy Robertson is gone. He's out of my team.
All right, so are we saying that's that then?
Yeah, I think so. I think we went through a fair amount of options for double game at 26.
Reviews, that's what we need. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We will read it out if it's 5 stars. Right, best of luck everybody, double game week. Oh, Siri's just activated. Why did that happen? That was weird. That was a strange end to the podcast. Yeah. Best of luck everybody, double game week, let's do this.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton.
Hello and welcome to Give Me Some Good News, the podcast that brings a bit of positivity and optimism to your life while the mainstream media is full of doom and gloom.
He's stand-up comedian Nathan Caton and I'm radio presenter Rich Wolfenden. And every week we ask a comedian to come on the podcast and give us some good news, whether it's something that they've spotted that's made them smile or a bit of good news from their own lives.
So far we've had some amazing comedians on the podcast like Jason Manford, Russell Kane, Joe Caulfield, Dane Baptiste, Joe Lycett, Richard Herring, Jade Adams and Ed Gamble. And we've got loads more great guests lined up. Which in itself is good news because it looks like we might be in this mess for a while longer yet.
So if you've had enough of bad news every time you turn on the TV, then give our podcast a go. We release a brand new episode every Monday morning.
Search for Give Me Some Good News now, hit subscribe and forget about the doom and gloom for 20 minutes. And don't forget, although it might not always feel like it, there's still some good news out there.
Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.